Okay, yeah, you don't see an offer, offer. So there is some offering, yeah, that Hui Rong just brought. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Eh? We were chant the Vandana salutation. Eh? Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tetiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majja pamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujayami pudang putsumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang bilayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaye patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. We shall now make aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Understanding the significance of offering of light, May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the consciousness conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruit remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Jam. Vedang Pajayami. Dhammang Pajayami. Sanghang Pajayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will off the light so that you can have your meditation. You can have 30 minutes of meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, please proceed with your meditation accordingly. And for those who are still new or need instruction, you just have to train your mind, develop the spiritual faculty. If your spiritual faculty is still not developed, then you use some skillful means to train your mind. You can either start off with the mind sweeping method, followed by anapanasati. The mind sweeping method you can combine with metta, loving kindness. It will help you to decondition your heedless thinking. For those, their spiritual faculty, if they are still not stable, the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, the opposite five, will arise. And this is the reason why the Buddha said, living beings become heedless, and they are not peaceful. They cannot be in the state of calmness, stillness, and silence. The meditative state is because of this mental hindrance. So if you still want to develop the meditation, then you have to use the skillful means to help temporarily keep at bay the mental hindrance. So mind sweeping method together with metta is a very good way for you to overcome the mental hindrance. It can help you temporarily decondition the heedless thinking born of the mental hindrance. So you start off by relaxing body and mind, silent everything. Then you close your eye. Make sure your backbone is straight. relax body and mind, then maintain attentiveness or mindfulness at the forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. Feel and relax into every mind state that arises. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle, facial muscle. Then in order to help you to relax further, you radiate love and metta. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When there is joy, when you can smile, you are relaxed. There is no more stress. And this is how your facial muscle can just relax on its own. Then you radiate love and metta to bring about inner well-being. Mind sweeping method can bring about inner peace, inner calmness, because it deconditions the heedless thinking. But for inner well-being to arise, you need love, you need metta. So you can radiate. We are reciting as follow. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite it, you have to feel it. This body and mind of yours, the entire being, is having this well-being and happiness. So you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, feel your body and mind, each and every cell within, having this well-being and happiness. May it to be well, happy and peaceful always. Then you can continue to read it. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within this body and mind. Then may this body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. Feel your entire physical body and mind free of suffering, both physical and mental suffering, no more. Then you can continue to radiate. May its mind state too be free from all the negativity of mind, free from all enmity, ill will and untrouble, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May this body and mind too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. This metta you can continue to radiate. After radiating to your own form and mind, you can radiate to your loved ones. Then after that, to all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all of Kayanamitas who are meditating here. Then you can continue to extend this love and metta to all beings within the entire of SS2, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then Mother Earth, our planet. Then to all beings within the entire solar system, our galaxy, then our Milky Way, and the entire universe. You read it the same. May all beings within the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, all to be well, happy and peaceful. Well, happy and peaceful. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful. Then you bring your attention back to your facial muscle. Just feel, relax. Then you move it down to your neck. Feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. And back to shoulder. Then you sweep it down to your heart area or chest area. Silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there. Then the mindfulness will develop. sati will develop. Just silent, everything. But if you are new, if you still are not stable in your mindfulness development, then you can just feel your heart area like you feel your forehead. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just feel it and relax, relax, and relax into it. Then you sweep down your mind to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method. Starting from your leg, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then your chest area again, feel, relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then back to shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Then neck, feel, relax. Facial muscle, feel, relax. Then your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then back all the way to your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can stabilize this silent mind or peaceful mind. We are cultivating anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just have to feel your breathing in front of your nostrils, silent everything and just feel. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, the mind is aware. Means the mind and the breath move as one without thought. Every time the mind wanders off, patiently bring it back to the breathing and feel. If you are patient enough, this anapanasati will come. It will stabilize in you. Then as it stabilizes, the mindfulness of the in and out breath will become very clear. Then you will experience a type of peace, which they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture that one can experience when one has developed mindfulness. So expect this mind to wander off many times. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Maintain mindfulness. Not long, this mind will settle down and stabilize. Then your anapanasati will become quite stable too. Then you will start to experience many things. Whatever mind state that arise, just relax into it. Then even the piti later on will become more and more refined. It will accumulate into sukha. Sukha is spiritual blissfulness, a much more calm state of mind compared to piti. Then as you continue to relax into sukha, you will experience a very quiet and still mind called pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. This is the meditative mind. So, okay, I'll let you meditate to train your mind until you develop this pasati. Then use this silent mind or tranquility or stillness of mind in sati or mindfulness to meditate. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. let's turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities of devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamma Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yugani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jabra. Buddhang Pujemi Dhammang Pujemi Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can continue with our Diamond Sutta. We are at chapter 22. Page 159. We will turn to page 1, verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 158, chapter 22. We have another 10 chapters, then we should finish. But 159. The balance of the chapter, they are all very short. So I think we can finish it off quite fast. Then also towards the end there, you see, their transfer of merits for Mahayana is slightly different. You turn to the, there is no page number. Towards the end there, the second last page, the last page is Dhamma Protector, Wei Tho Bodhisattva. Then the page before that, verse of transference of merits. This one I would like to share with you so that you understand. For Mahayana, they do it slightly differently. They invoke power, merits, and virtue for something more noble which they feel it is more important. So here they always recite, may the merits and virtue accrue from this work. Means whatever work they do, the translation and all those things. And also the sharing. Adorn the Buddha's Pure Land. So these are Pure Land teaching that they have very strong faith in. That's why they want all this wholesomeness, merits and virtue to adorn the Buddha's Pure Land. Then repaying four kinds of kindness above, and aiding those suffering in the path below. Then the next paragraph is also very important. May those who see and hear of this all bring forth the resolve for Bohi. This is very important. You know what is this resolve for Bohi, isn't it? What is this? Bohi is what? What is Bohi? Bodhi Singh, what is that? Bohi, the Bohi mind. Bohi stands for enlightenment, the Bohi tree. So, the Bohi mind. So, when you make the resolve of Bohi, means what? You plant the Bohi seed. You remember when you take the vow, the Bodhisattva vow? That's the important one. Those who have the understanding, they will arise this Bohi mind to plant the seed of Bohi, means the seed of enlightenment, the enlightenment thought to go this way. And this one is the moving force that will move you along the path. And the power of vows and aspiration will take you along relatively easily. Today I just finished the first transcript of the Bodhisattva Way. I think there are four or five. But I have finished the most important one, the 26th of April last year. So that one you should read through. Then for those whose English are quite good, you help us in the proofreading. Then also give us some suggestion as how the flow of language can be improved. So now, much better already. If you read through that sharing, you will understand the importance of all this Bohi mind development. To plant the seed of Bohi, the resolve to go this way, is a very important starting point. If it's not because of that, all the Bodhisattva, they cannot walk this path. So this resolve for Bohi is very important. That's why they say, may those who see and hear of this all bring forth the resolve for Bodhi. And when this retribution body is over, be born together in the land of ultimate bliss, means the pure land of Amitabha Buddha. So this is their aspiration. That's why their verse for transcendental merits is slightly different. Theirs is according to what they understand, eh? And in a way is a lot more noble because they determine to go the way of Buddhahood. Okay, now we turn back to page 159. The title is, there is no Dhamma which can be obtained. Like previous chapter, the Diamond Sutta, they are all very abstract. So the title itself is also equally abstract because they are explaining it from the ultimate truth, ultimate wisdom born of the complete realization of emptiness. After they have perfected the understanding of true emptiness. It's just like in Heart Sutta, in true emptiness, all those that you study under the conditioned world, they don't exist. Now we read on the sutta. Subhati said to the Buddha, well-honored one, is it that the Tathagata in attaining Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi did not attain anything? So that was the question by Subhati. The Buddha said, so it is, Subhati. As to Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, there is not even the slightest Dhamma which I could attain. Therefore, it is called Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. So, as before, it is the way they play with words and they describe it from ultimate truth. Then from ultimate truth, is beyond reality. That's why it sounds like very abstract. But they have their understanding. That's why the meaning is there. But to the normal people, they will look at it as it is very weird. We look at the commentaries by Sun Huang. After the Buddha has said that living beings were not living beings and not living beings, Subhati asks, in attaining the unsurpassed proper and equal right enlightenment, the one resultant Dhamma of Buddhahood, there is not even the slightest Dhamma to be obtained. Therefore, it is called Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. That is merely a false name, nothing more. There is no actual substance which one can point to and say, that is Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. Why is there not even the smallest Dhamma which can be attained? The principle was discussed before. If you want to know if something is attainable, you first must know if it has been lost. If it was certain that Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi has been lost, then you could retrieve it. But basically, you have not lost anything. It is what you have always had, your true nature, or they use the word here, basic nature, which is the original nature. In your clothing is a priceless gem. Do you further seek outside? Do not go outside in search of anything. The priceless gem is within your clothing. Cut open your clothing and you will see it. So this is Shen Hua's way of expounding the true nature. Here clothing means your physical form and mind. So if you were to look within, beyond the physical form, beyond the mental condition arising mind, then you will realize your true nature. Anuttara Samyak Sambhohi, the unsurpassed proper and equal right enlightenment, is a special name for the perfect full Buddha fruit. Means when you realize perfect enlightenment, yeah? Full Sammasambuddhahood, then they call it Samyak Sambhohi. Anuttara Samyak Sambhohi. That's why these are the virtue of the Buddha. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Then vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuturoha. This is the one. Your Buddha fruit is certainly not something that can be attained from outside. That which is called anuttara samyak sambhohi also does not come from outside. It is what you have always had, your inherent family treasure. The riches are within your own household. If you turn away and seek outside, you will be abandoning what you have had all along. You will not find anything that way. That's why in all the Mahayana Sutta, if you were to read through them, you always come across this famous phrase, seek within. Do not seek without. Truth is within. And Krishnamurti also knew. He always liked to pose this question to spiritual practitioner or cultivator. He said, everybody try to seek enlightenment. So the seeking took them everywhere. They go everywhere to seek. They look for a teacher. They look for method and technique. They seek out enlightenment. But what did they use to seek? What did they always use to seek? The mundane mind, which is constantly seeking outside. Why? Why does the mundane mind always seek outside? You can understand. Anybody want to try to answer that or explain that? Why does the mundane mind every time seek outside? What is this mundane mind? Yeah? The conditioned arising mind, the thinking mind, how does it arise? How does it arise? You have studied before in the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. Who are you? What are you? Huh? Yeah, because of the senses, the sense though. So because you have the senses, what happened? You also have the consciousness or the mind that is trapped inside. So upon contact, what happened? Consciousness come to be there. So when you become conscious of what you see, what do you see? The seeing consciousness is always outside, isn't it? Where it's dependent originating, condition arising. Whatever hearing, your hearing consciousness is also outside. Smell, taste, tactile, thought, they are all outside. That's why you have your head. As a human being, our head, where the brain is, all of your five physical senses are all there. Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile. That's why this brain, they are so involved with the sense experience. And all your seeing is outside. All your hearing, smell, taste, tactile, is, and thought process, they are all outside. Creating consciousness, inputting the content through your views, your opinion, and all those things. And this is how you function as a human being. And because of that, they seek outside, thinking that enlightenment can be found outside. That's why they travel everywhere. They seek everywhere. They go and seek for the teaching. seek for the teachers. Then sometimes they become so gullible, they seek for method and technique, thinking that that is the meditation. So if you do that, what will happen? I will use the whiteboard, it's easier, clearer. Our mundane mind, or condition arising mind. This one has its characteristic because it's condition arising, dependent originating. So this condition arising also implies dependent originating. That's the reason why the Buddha called teaching dependent originating. His core teaching, he called the dwelling of the dependent origination theory. This is how you function as a human being. This is how your mundane mind arises and passes away, dependent on condition it arises. That's why it's called dependent originating mind. And mundane mind, like I explained just now, they always seek outside because our senses are always focused outside. You cannot use your eye and see inside you. Can you do that? Cannot, isn't it? That's why if you use the thought, and this mundane mind is what the thinking process is all about, the thought is all about. That's why thought-based meditation, you will not have any chance of realizing the truth. So this one always seek outside. And truth can never be found outside of you. What must you use to meditate? We have gone through it. What must you use to meditate? Huh? Where is Mimi-san? Chai-chai will know. Oh, meditating there. Okay, never mind. He still meditate. Then let him meditate. You remember last time at Sumeru? He told me straight away, he summarized everything. To understand what I share, you have to understand only one thing. What is it? There are two minds. Understand now? So you have to understand that you have two minds. The first mind is the one that comes with the five aggregate of form and mind. That one is not your true mind. That is your mundane mind, condition arising mind, dependent originating mind, thinking mind. And that one is thought based. That one cannot realize the truth, cannot awaken. The other one is when this mundane mind ceases, when it doesn't arise to distract you, to cloud your nature, to deceive you, to condition you into delusion, attachment, clinging, grasping, and all those things, then the true mind will manifest. That's why the true mind is your silent mind. True mind, silent mind. This is your meditative mind. Meditative mind. That's why you have to use this mind to meditate. And when you're silent, what happens? There is no thinking, no thought process, no mundane mind, no stirring, no movement, no words, no concept. Then what is the characteristics of this mind? This mind is silent, aware, and what? There is no movement in it. So? It's in stillness, understand now? Silent, aware, and in stillness. And this is the one that can touch your nature. That's why it can silent and seek within. It's just aware. And it will understand all of the creation and the movement. Whatever this mundane mind do, it will understand. That's why it can awaken to its characteristic, its truth. It can see things as they are. It can realize the awakening. This is the one that can give rise to wisdom. That's why this one, because it is silent, aware, and still, it can seek within. It need not go out. And your true nature is within. That's why you have to completely cease this mind to realize Nirvana, the enlightenment. But before this can happen, you need this silent mind to develop the understanding of it, that there are two minds. And the other one that operates in the world, within the conditioned world, is dependent originating, condition arising. It has its universal characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it is non-self, not me, empty. You understand? Because dependent on condition, it will change. That's why it's in a state of flux. So this is not a permanent and changing entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. And this one go accordance, flow and move accordance with the nature's law, which is mainly the law of karma, the law of mind, the law of Dhamma, the spiritual law. There is also the physical law and the biological law, scientific law. So all this, they are already defined. That's why they go according to nature's law, dependent originating. If you want things your way, which is not allowable by nature's law, then suffering will arise. Wanting your way means what? You cling, you hold, you grasp. You refuse to accept the reality of the moment. You choose to be different. But nature is. Truth is. All this, you have to develop the understanding through this silent mind in meditation. And this is the one that can meditate. And when you seek within, you will realize, you will awaken. That's the reason why all of Mahayana teaching, they point towards the true mind, like Hui Ning, you remember? The three basic character or characteristics of Hui Ning's teaching is pointing towards the true mind. Because it is the true mind, that's why Hui Ning's teaching is very unique. The three just now the connection. So Hui Ning's teaching, points directly to the true mind. Okay? The true mind or the silent mind. Huh? And because it points directly to the true mind, it has these three characteristics. The first characteristic is what? First characteristic is what? No? Because the true mind don't think. Understand now? It's not dependent or originating. There is no content of consciousness. No word, nothing, no concept. That's why no thought. Then the second characteristic is what? Wait. No mark. It's not no duality. No mark. Okay? Third one, the characteristic is what? No. Third one is what? No dwelling. Understand? Not no duality. No dwelling. Yes. Yeah, this is about the mind. Understand? The moment you are without thought, there is no more duality. Understand? Duality comes from thought. Then you must have this understanding of noma, because this is the Diamond Sutta cultivation. Then that mind cannot dwell. The moment it dwell, let's say you dwell at the Buddha Rupang, what happened? Yeah? You create a thought, understand? That's why you dwell there. But if it's the true mind, just aware, spacious awareness without a center, you never dwell anywhere. That's why that true mind got no dwelling. So these are the three characteristics of Hui Ning's teaching. Three characteristics of Hui Ning's teaching. That's why his teaching is very powerful. That's why you can awaken straight away. What he is telling you is, don't waste time on the mundane mind. You understand? A lot of people are trapped in meditation because they use this thinking mind, mundane mind. You know how they go about doing the meditation? They use this mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind, to study the sutta. Then what do? They come out with method and technique. Then this method and technique are just a series of instructions to do things. Then they again use this thought, the mundane mind, to do the meditation. And they hope to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond mind. You ask yourself, is it possible? Is it possible? It's completely impossible. That's why only people who don't understand gullible, they use thought. That's why the meditation becomes so unique and so difficult to comprehend. Because this teaching has been lost. Not until after Hui Ning. That's why he tear apart Sun Tzu's poem. The Sun Tzu's poem talk about the mundane mind. And a lot of people are trapped in the mundane mind cultivation. And because of that, it is very difficult for people of our present civilization to awaken. That's why enlightenment is like so difficult nowadays, so rare. But during the Buddha's time, during the time when the Dhamma flourished, there were so many enlightened ones. And why is it nowadays we can't have the same result? It has become like so difficult to even encounter an enlightened being. All this happened because over the years, the teaching has been forgotten, lost. The interpretation of it, they have caused a lot of distortion to the teaching. That's why it has lost its potency. The true potent teaching originally taught by the Buddha has been
loss.
And a lot has become words, concept, idea, method, technique. Not only method and technique, now they even attach to teacher. And they subdivide all the teaching into so many divisions. Not only the three main divisions of Theravada, Mahayana and Vajrayana. Within every of these sects, Theravada alone, they have subdivided into so many different ones. They call it by different method and different technique. Like the Burmese method or Mahasi's method. Then they got the Pa'aus method. Then they got the Koin Kas method. Even Burma alone got so many. And that day, one of the lady who came back after the 3 months training, Tammy, I met her at the Klang Talk. She came for the Klang Talk. She just came back. She told me she went to another one. Saidong, don't know what, Siu Ming. You heard of this teacher? Siu Ming something, I forgot already. He said it's Teacher Neya's teacher, the monastery. Founded by the teacher of Teacher Neya. Siu Ming, yeah, Siu Ming, yes. I told her, you're lucky you went there. Yeah, he understand. I was told, I read one of the book, the internet one. Somehow somebody sent it over, I don't know who. I click on it. Then I saw this. Because she told me she is going to that temple to, I don't know what they call it. It's a 3 month, like, samaneri experience. Yes, she wear white. She wear white. And she went there for 3 months. Then she wrote to me in the email. I said, what did you learn there? What did they teach you? She was the one that sent me. Sent me some extract of the notes that he received from them. Then I clicked on it. It come in a WhatsApp form. So I had to download into the internet. Then I click on it. Then I realized it came from that book. Then I click on that book. It seems he was chosen to be the next in line to take over Mahasi Saidor's position after Mahasi Saidor passed away. But he rejected it. You know about it, huh? You heard of this? He rejected it. You know why he rejected it? You can't remember. According to that book. Because he actually don't agree with what was being taught by Mahasi. He, in his own teaching and book, you know what he said? He said, there is something that is aware of the noting mind. You understand? Mahasi teach noting. He said that noting mind, there is something that can be aware of that noting mind. That's why he don't want to take over. He take over, you will create havoc, I tell you. And he decided to set up his own and continue with his small center. Then I read further, but he used his own word, that's why it's not really, maybe not so accurate because of the English translation. I didn't have a chance to understand Burmese. I don't know what he actually wrote inside that. But based on the translation, it's not so accurate or correct. But at least he is one step much better than using the thinking mind. He said there is a mind that can be aware of the noting mind. That is a very powerful statement. The noting mind is the thought. But he never used that word. Yeah, he don't understand that it's the thought. But he is clear that there is something that can be aware of the thinking mind. The noting mind. Yeah. That's why he knew that one is not the real sati. So this lady, after she wrote to me, I wrote back, I said, no harm. I said, this teaching appears to be much better. I said, not much harm. At least you go to Burma, you didn't go to those type of teaching. You go to this one, not so bad. That's why she has a lot of joy after that. I think after that, she got a lot of faith too. Then she told me she's supposed to be on 3 months leave. She's supposed to get her job back. Don't know what happened. They didn't give her the job back. So she has to. But she said, never mind. I said, yeah, blessing in disguise. No job, so what? Take your time. I said, no hurry. So it's a blessing in disguise. And she was full of joy. Then he said, something went wrong. He said, they messed it up, or don't know what. There was some misunderstanding. They thought she resigned. Then they just hire another one, I think. So anyway, she said, no problem, is it? Then I think she is okay. Pass the mic. Pass the mic for the recording. Thanks.
I listened to this monk. It's a Malaysian monk. Came back from this outside. His understanding is very good. He could understand to transcend duality. He talked about no mark. He talked about no mark, and he says
he's a Theravada.
Yeah, he said Mahayana or Theravada makes no difference. They're the same. They're all teaching the same thing.
Correct. And you understand that statement is correct.
But outside or?
Sadhu. Okay, it's not bad. Not bad. If he can understand it that way, it's not bad. But what he teach is different, I tell you. What Pa'au teach is very different. Very different.
But he learned from Pa'au, I think 5 years with Pa'au Sayadaw.
Whatever it is, because he has his method, his teaching. A lot on energy. Jhana and all those things. Energy field.
They learn jhana.
Yeah, energy field.
Jhana.
So you have to understand that. So whatever it is, if the cultivator understands, you can start from anywhere. Even if you go energy field, like what happened during the Buddha's time, he also went into energy field. Where if you don't do that, you cannot understand. You cannot see the difference. Because energy field has its own, what they call, attractiveness. Understand? It attracts a lot of people because there is a lot of magic inside there. Understand? A lot of power, a lot of fantastic mind state, like the Surangama Sutta mentioned them. It's like very fantastic, a lot of fantasy, a lot of very powerful mind state. You can experience a lot of meditative mind state that are really extraordinary. Very special. And if you are not careful, you will think you are enlightened. Because you really become like very, very special because of that meditative experience of the thing that can arise, and you are capable of seeing and maybe manifesting all those psychic ability. And a lot of people get attracted to that field. And during the Buddha's time, that was the main teaching. That's why the formless mind, arupa jhana, the four higher jhanas, 5, 6, 7, and 8, they call it the formless mind state. They call it the arupa state of mind. Means they go beyond the form jhana. So they are in the consciousness field. But this consciousness is not pure awareness, you understand? That's why they go into this formless jhana. They call it, the first one, the fifth jhana, is called infinite space. Infinite space means their consciousness like can perceive infinite space. Then after that, they can go into another state, which they call infinite consciousness. Like the consciousness is infinite, infinite. Then they will go into the seventh jhana, which is very, very quiet, very peaceful, very still. They call it the formless jhana of nothingness. You know what is nothingness? Nothing inside that. Completely. That's why they call that emptiness. That is not the real emptiness. That is the false emptiness. The rhyme of nothingness means your mind completely dull, become blank. Understand? When the mind is blank, means what? Means what? There is no awareness at all, no. That's why there is a rhyme of there, no mind on. You remember? Oh. No mind on. Because blank. Because it's in jhana. Nothingness. And that one, without awareness, without that nature, you cannot awaken. And a lot of people trapped there. The last one is worse. You reach the rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. The mind becomes so fine, so still. It can't even know whether it's perceiving or not perceiving. Understand? You understand? Well, our mundane one, the form jhana, very easy. Eh? The moment you perceive, you know. Eh? But up there, because it's the formula, it's so fine until the rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. They cannot differentiate. They completely in that bliss, that stillness, that very fine state of long existence. That's why it can be for many, many aeons. They can be up there for 80,000 aeons, it seems, before they come down. So these are the meditation that can lead you to psychic field, energy field, to the field of consciousness and all those things. But the Buddha teach something that is completely beyond all this. That's why it's beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond all this consciousness, even the pure awareness is.
So the Buddha's two teachers are up there.
Up there, huh? That's why they have to die before he becomes fully enlightened. Because they make their vow, they believe. That is their ultimate state. That is what they have held on to. That's why this wrong view can be very dangerous. If you believe you have already reached the ultimate state that is possible. They are not wrong, no. Because in the mundane world, those are the highest formless state that you can achieve through the thought, through the mind. And they are not wrong. But they don't understand that there is a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. There is a nature that is completely beyond other things. That's why when they are in that state, they thought they have reached the universal self. You understand? The Atman. The rhyme of nothingness. They say that is the ultimate self. The universal self. Then the neither perception or non-perception is even beyond that. Because like, you won't come back anymore. Whose car is it? The alarm went off. Is it outside our house? Never mind, let my wife check. Where you park, PJ? Oh, the light is flashing. What is the car plate? Number plate. But Freddy one is further out. Somebody else, huh? Palang, ah? Oh, okay. Then it's okay, it's safe. Huh? not from our kind of people. Okay, we come back to what we have discussed. So, always remember when you meditate, there are two minds within you. The true mind cannot be realized if the mundane mind is active, if the thinking mind is active. Active means what? Huh? Active means what? Ah, think a lot. Think a lot means what? Heedless, understand? Understand? If you are not heedless, you will not think. And why do you think? Because the mental hindrance. Understand? Yeah? Sensual desire, you will active inside there. Then the mind is constantly restless, worry, fear, anxiety, restless. That craving, that desire, wanting to know, wanting to experience, keep on creating attachment, clinging, grasping. That's why it creates a lot of heedless thinking. Then when there is doubt, it's the same. When there is doubt means what? There is no faith. You're not sure, understand? You are doubtful. Doubtful means what? You lack confidence. Sadha not there. The spiritual faculties are not there. That's why with that type of mind, you cannot meditate. So to meditate, you need the opposite five spiritual faculty. That's why the five spiritual faculty, which are the most important, Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. That's why we make aspiration for it to stabilize until it becomes unshakable, balance. It's because this is the mind that can meditate. The moment you have the spiritual faculty stabilized, meditation is automatic. You don't have to train, don't have to do anything. You just relax, silent, thunk, you go in already. Then in the midst of life also, there is no thought, nothing, empty, silent, still. That's the reason why I always share with you all, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Just like I told you all before, all the sharing and all those things, inside the nature, no movement at all. Then how did all these things come out? Then what is all this manifestation coming out? Because this one is a form of mind, the vehicle that comes with it. And this vehicle is connected to the understanding, which is the wisdom, the awakening. After it connects, then it inherits. Then after its awakening, the wisdom that is already there, connected to this form of mind, this is the one that can allow this form of mind to manifest. It's just like during the Buddha's time, you remember? Underneath the Bodhi tree, what happened to him? Huh? He was also born with a form of mind like us, isn't it? Huh? You understand? Before his enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree, he was no different from us, except his karma maybe. His spiritual nature and karmic nature is a lot of different. But the form of mind is no different. Karmically conditioned out. The vehicle and the tool. And that physical form of mind is his... What body is that? Nimanakaya. What is that body? What is Nimanakaya? Functional body that performed the function of the Buddha in that life. Understand? Like this brother Teo. This form of mind is my functional body. Understand? Then how did the Buddha become the Sammasambuddha? Underneath the Bodhi tree, he meditate, he connect, he realize, he inherit everything. Understand? That's why that Sambhogayakaya, the perfection of wisdom and virtue, came back to his form of mind connected. That's how he became the Buddha. Then the third body manifests, Dhammakaya. The Dhamma body that preached the Dhamma. That's why from there, the teaching come out. So this one is the same. Inside, still, no movement. From the nature, straight from the heart, the teaching come out. It don't go through the brain. It has got nothing to do with the thought and the brain. That's why it is very different. Not what you think and not what people think. So Hui Ning's teaching is very, very phenomenal. That's why with the advent of the six patriarchs, the Mahayana teaching, they flourished like anything. They came up. But then over the last maybe 1,000 years or 1,000+ years, it has gone down again. Hui Ning's time was it 600 over AD? I think it's about that time, huh? 600 over AD. So, 1,000 over years already, and it has actually gone down. Gone down. That's why the rise and fall of civilization, the rise and fall of the Dhamma is the same. If after a long period there is no more great beings who can bring forth the teaching again, use the mic.
Bodhidharma who went to China was during 700 over.
Oh yeah, means six patriarchs is later.
Yes. You went to the Pai Master, that's round?
No, I didn't go this round. Round I didn't go.
Oh.
No, Pai Master, according to what they told me, is already very old.
Yeah,
because Tang Sen Zhang, Tang Sang Zhang, Tong Sam Zhong. Oh, he is much earlier than Hui Ning. So, anyway, you can check the date. I think it's 1,000 over AD. So, Bodhidharma, I think he came in the year 400 over AD, if I'm not wrong. 400 over AD. He came over. There was Tang Dynasty, right? Tang Dynasty, Tang Cao.
Buddhism was at its peak during the 700 AD.
Oh, Miss Hui Ning's time,
700 AD is at the peak.
Miss Hui Ning's time. It can only peak at Hui Ning's time. Six patriarchs.
There were lots of Afghanistan monks who were helping to translate.
Because from this, what they call Bodhidharma to Hui Ning, the six patriarchs, no need many years now.
Oh.
Very fast. But he transmitted to Hui Ke, second patriarch. So during that time, the second patriarch was there. The second patriarch passed away very, very early. The third and the fourth also committed suicide, I think. Hang on the tree. No, because the emperor were after them. They cannot come out empty. Where the conditions were not ready. And Bodhidharma predicted, To Hui Ke, you lie low. You go and read the patriarchship, the story. Actually, their lives were tough. Very tough. That's why a lot of Zen masters, they came, they suffer. They go through a lot of hardship. Even Xu Yun, you go and see the video, the hardship he went through. You know, he was robbed so many times, you know, his temple. The robber robbed and whack him, and do a lot of things. And he go everywhere to build this temple, and he meet a lot of very nasty people, abusers. Sometimes the emperor people, the government people, nasty thing. So a lot of these things happened. And during that time, until six patriarch was not long. I think less than 100 years. Less than 100 years. From Bodhidharma until six patriarch. But now, Xuanhua is 45. After Bodhidharma, no. Xu Yun is 44, I think. The patriarch, 44 patriarch. So over the years, it has actually deteriorated. Because the true teaching of Hui Ning, not many can understand. The real teaching of Hui Ning is actually as profound as Diamond Sutta. And you realize or not, Diamond Sutta is seldom taught. Because there's no teaching inside there. It only tells you how to cultivate. You must cultivate in this manner. Then only it is a Diamond Sutta teaching. Then you can realize Buddhahood. Otherwise, it's too slow. you cultivate with mark, your merits and all those things is too slow. Your penetration of Dhamma is too slow. Your understanding is too slow. Your virtue, your perfection is too slow. You cannot do it. That's why you need the vow. You need the understanding of the Diamond Sutta. You have to cultivate without mark. Then the mind must have no dwelling. That's why Hui Ning has the vow. He come. The moment he heard the Diamond Sutta, he understand. The moment he heard this stanza, the mind must have no dwelling. He awakened straight away. Because of his vow. Because of his cultivation, his perfection. He wanted this understanding, life after life when he come. Whenever there is condition, he will awaken. Like this life, this nature of mind, same. I only need truth. A lot of these things, nobody taught me this life. I never learned this life. But the moment I heard truth, this nature understand. That's it, finish. Like the Four Noble Truth, when I was in Form 5. The moment I read about it, no need to surgery. I knew. Nobody 2,000 over years ago can come up with all the understanding and summarize them all of life, mundane and super mundane, into just Four Noble Truths, so beautiful and so simple. Then this nature knew he must be the real one. Because at that time, this nature can even say what not. Even if I had had this awakening understanding, I don't have the ability to summarize all this teaching into Four Noble Truths. No way. No way at all. Because of his perfection, that's why he can do it. And he can be so unique and so beautiful because he is the Sammasambuddha. So all this, you will come to understand as you complete your cultivation. That's why at the latest retreat in March, you remember what I shared with you all? Because there were conditions. Somebody asked me about the mind-to-mind seal. Remember? The direct transmission. And it can be done. Where this nature understand, where this nature went through. And it can understand how it can be done. Because all these cultivators who already have this understanding and the vow, they don't need much teaching. They only need certain pointer. Like the fifth patriarch, what did he told Hui Ning when he passed the bat to him? He, of course, run through quickly the Diamond Sutta with him. Then when he reached the point where fifth patriarch told Hui Ning, you must know how to use this mind and yet not attach to it. He came to great awakening. Just that sentence, stanza. And that mind is the mundane mind. And that is the secret. The moment he said that, he came to great awakening. He understood everything. Then I realized this life, this nature already knew this. That's why I told you this form and mind, chemically conditioned out, is not you. But it's for you to use. Use without delusion. Because when you awaken, you have the wisdom. When you already awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, then the phenomenal world loses its power over you. They cannot deceive you anymore. They cannot delude you anymore. That's why you won't cling, you won't. But you know how to use them. There they are for you to use. The user of thought, the user of this form and mind is very important. If the user is deluded, the form and mind would be deluded. The Noble Eightfold Path will fall apart. But if the user has wisdom, the Noble Eightfold Path will fall into place. Then you will know how to use, like the fifth patriarch told Hui Ning. You must know how to use this mind and yet not attach, not be deluded by it. That's how he immediately came to great awakening. And where got teaching? He just mentioned that statement. And this life, this one realizes itself, this nature. It doesn't need to read fifth patriarch sutta or sixth patriarch sutta to understand all this. That's why when I saw that, I understood how he can awaken. It can be done. Because those who have cultivated, perfected, make them into vows. When they come, they don't need teaching. They only need truth. Certain pointer. Straight away they awaken. That's why the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. He straight away awakened. Now this is his expertise, you understand? This is Queen Ling's three characteristics, or not to say three characteristics, the characteristic of his cultivation. No thought, no mind, no dwelling. That's why he heard any of this, he will connect one. He will awaken one. And what he heard was, the mind must have no dwelling. He straight away awakened. Then after that, he only need to understand what is the mundane mind for you to use, not to attach and cling, so that you are not deluded by it, not deceived by it. That's why all these are possible when you understand. But when you don't understand, it's like very, very difficult, very abstract. Okay? Oh, so fast. That one is fast, isn't it? Oh, 10 o'clock only. That one is fast, half an hour. I thought almost 10:30 already. Yeah. You see, bit by bit. Every week, faster by a few minutes. 2-3 minutes. Then, over the period, half an hour faster already. Okay, we'll move on to chapter 23. So now, clear or not? Yeah? So, by now, I think after this few sharing, it should be pretty clear by now how the cultivation is to be developed. Then, go through the transcript that I had just sent out. Those who didn't receive, you wait. You wait for the transcript book to be out. Because now we go through the proofreading. So not long. I will try to finalize all of the 4 or 5 sharing, I think. And we will compile into a book form. Walking the Bodhisattva way and taking of the vow. Then it will come out like the Heart Sutta as a book form. And that one will be very helpful. It will help a lot of people to plant the seed of Bodhi, to go this way with understanding. Okay? Chapter 23, we move on. The pure mind practices good. I think the title is wrongly phrased. The pure mind never practice. Anyway, we go through and see what Xuanhua has to say. Moreover, Subhati, according to the sutta, this Dhamma is level and equal, with no high or low. Therefore, it is called Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, to cultivate all good practices with no self, no others, no living beings, and no life, is to attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. So this is referring to Diamond Sutta cultivation of Noma. Subhati, good practice are spoken of by the Buddha or Tathagata as no good practice. Therefore, they are called good practice. That's why the title is wrong. This sutta is correct. The title is wrong. There is no such thing as the pure mind practice good. Practices good. We go to the commentary. Wishing to speak in greater detail, Sakyamuni Buddha said to Subhati, there is nothing higher than this Dhamma, and there is nothing lower. Therefore, it is called Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. Although it is called the unsurpassed, proper, and equal right enlightenment, is the Dhamma without a mark of self, of others, of living being, or of alive. It is devoid of attachment to self, attachment to phenomena, attachments to emptiness. You must cultivate wholesome practices and abstain from practicing unwholesome deeds. So it is said, so these are the basic vows, the three types of pure precepts. I vow to cut off all evil, means all evil is to be avoided. Then I vow to cultivate and perfect all virtue or goodness or wholesomeness. Then I vow to save all the limitless living being via cultivation of wisdom. So these are the three sets of pure precepts. If you cut off evil and cultivate goodness or wholesomeness, your good root will increase and grow. By cultivating wholesomeness, it should change to wholesomeness, not good practices, you naturally obtain the unsurpassed proper and equal right enlightenment. Subhati, good practices are spoken of by the Tathagata as no good practices. So speaking from the point of view of Tathagata, there are no good practice which can be obtained. Therefore, they are called good practice. They are merely given a false name. You should not have an attachment to good practice either. Attachment to good practice is still attachment. You should look upon everything as an illusion, a transformation, a dream, a bubble, or a shadow as unreal. This one comes from the famous stanza in the Diamond Sutta. In Mandarin, it's very beautiful if you can understand Mandarin. They always use this stanza for the poem to illustrate the illusionary world, the unreality of the phenomenal world. They say, each year you wave on. You wave on means condition arising Dhamma. Ru mong huan pao ying. So within the condition arising world or arising Dhamma, he said, Ru mong, mong is dream. Everything is like a dream. Huan is an illusion. Pao is bubble. Ying is shadow. So it's like a dream, an illusion, a bubble, and shadow. How real can the shadow be? Understand? How real can your dream be? And what is illusion? The magician or the illusionist create illusion for you to see, and they are not the reality. That's why in Mandarin it's very good. Each year you wave on. Zhu mong huan pao ying. Then the third sentence is even more beautiful. Yi lu yi lu tian. Zhu lu yi lu tian. Means like a dew and a lightning flash. Ying zuo ru zhu si guan. You have to contemplate it such. Then you will awaken. You will not be deceived by the phenomenal world. You will not be deluded by the phenomenal world. So this one comes from that one. This one, that word. You should look upon everything as an illusion, a transformation, a dream, a bubble, and a shadow, as unreal. That's why it's empty. Condition arising entity, dependent originating, a condition world, dependent originating world, a phenomenal world of consciousness, in a state of flux, ever changing, ever moving. That's why my teacher Achanyantra, he put it in a very nice way. He said, only mighty nature rolling by, no reality. Everything follow nature's law, mighty nature rolling by. Even your form and mind is part of nature. That is within the conditioned world. Then your true nature is within the unconditioned. So you have to understand both, the conditioned and the unconditioned, so that you can fit in perfectly. Otherwise you are still one-sided. You will not have the wisdom. That's the reason why the fifth patriarch taught winning this. He said, you should develop the wisdom to use this mind and yet not attach to it. Use means what? Within the conditioned world, there is such thing as life, like I always tell you all. There is such a thing as a form and mind that is subject to karma. That's why this mind is for you to use. But when you use it, you should not have any delusion. You should not attach or cling onto it. Where it's not real, not you. So this is the ultimate truth understanding. Just like Kuan Yin in the Heart Sutta, he mentioned, in true emptiness, there is no old age, sickness and death. There is no Dhamma. There is no Four Noble Truth. No attaining. No one born, no one die, no one sick, nothing. But within the conditioned world, all this exists. That's why we doubt the wisdom from both aspects. Within the unconditioned and the conditioned world, you cannot live in this world. You still will have problem. That's why to be successful in life, you must have the spiritual understanding to complement your mundane understanding and success. Otherwise, you still will have suffering and you will still be afflicted. Okay? Yeah. Wow, very fast, huh? Next chapter. Chapter 24. Wow, we can cover 3 chapters today. Okay. Maybe I have to take a seat. I don't want to strain my leg for too long. Okay, chapter 24. Blessing and wisdom beyond compare. This is the title. The sutta said, Subhati, if there were heaps of 7 precious treasures equal in amount in all the Sumerus, kings of mountains, in 3,000 great 1,000 world system, and someone gave them as a gift, and if someone else were to take from this Prajna Paramita Sutta as few as the 4 lines of verse, and receive, hold, read, recite, and speak them for others, his blessings and merits would surpass the previous ones by more than hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of times. Just imagine the vast difference between the merits. Of billions of time than either calculation or analogy could express, which means there is no real comparison at all. And this one, I think, in the earlier chapter, it has been mentioned, but not elaborated to this extent. So, this shows to you the extent of cultivation. If you do it via the understanding of the Diamond Sutta with no mark, as the previous chapter indicate, your merits, they give this comparison, which is very good. He said, let's say you have all these 7 treasure of the universe equal in amount in all the world system. Sumerus are world system. Kings of mountain in the 3,000 great 1,000 world system is incalculable. And someone gave them as a gift. And if someone else were to take from this Prajna Paramita Sutta, just as few as 4 lines, means just now the 4 line, this 4 line stanza, the merits, he said, if they were to receive it, hold it, read, recite, and speak them to others, means share it with others, his blessing and virtue will surpass the previous one by so many fold. The previous one means the person who offered all these 7 treasures of the infinite amount of world system. And according to the other chapter, if I may recall, you offer it to all the Sammasambuddhas of all this world system. You know how big and how vast their merits is. Yeah? And yet, compared to somebody who understands the 4 stanza, hold it, receive it, recite it, share it with people, the merits that this particular cultivator has is way, way beyond that person who make the offering. That's why I said, without the Diamond Sutta understanding, the cultivation of the Diamond Sutta, that process is too long. The Bodhisattva way is too long. That's why unless you hit the 3rd stage of Bohi mind development, means you complete the third stage of Bodhi mind development. You can never cultivate the Bodhisattva way. We are the true understanding of the Diamond Sutta. And if you talk about the 10 ground Bodhisattvahood, you have to hit the 8 ground. 8 ground is like the fourth stage of Bodhisattva, Bodhi mind development, where there is no more regression. You won't regress anymore. In fact, end of the third stage of Bodhi mind development, you already have the ability and you will not regress anymore. That's why after that you will renounce samsara. And you will fulfill your vow, perfect all the 10 perfections and become Sammasambuddha, thereby realizing the accumulation of the cultivation, which is the perfection of the 10 perfection, and that is the fifth stage of Bodhi mind development. So this is the chapter that can explain to you very clearly. Not until you hit that level of cultivation, it will take you still a long, long, long time. But the moment you hit this understanding, your progress is completely beyond your wildest imagination. And that transformation will be very, very fast. And earlier on, you remember the video I sent out? Yeah? You remember Kuan Yin Bodhisattva? Oh. How, because of that special condition, he straight away, don't know from what ground, Bodhisattvahood, straight away jumped to the 8th stage, no? 8th ground of Bodhisattvahood, or no, non-regression. No? Then after that, he completed the Sammasambuddhahood. Then he chose to come back as a Bodhisattva to do all this work. That's why she is a very unique being. Very, very unique. And you have to cultivate affinity with this great being, who is full of not only compassion and love, but full of great wisdom and very, very compassionate. That's why you must seek her nature's blessing, protection and guidance. And this is the most important. Okay? Now we read on to see what Shenhua have to say. Eh? Sumeru is a Sanskrit word which means wonderfully high. Within 3,000 great thousand worlds, there are many, many wonderfully high mountains. How many of the 7 precious gems would it take to match the size of all those Mount Sumeru? And yet, if someone else were to take even so few as 4 lines of verse from the Prajnaparamita Sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta, the Sutta of Wisdom, arriving at the other shore, receive them in his mind, hold them with his body, read them from the book, recite them from memory, and explain them for others. How would his merit and virtue compare with the merits derived from the previous gift of gem? The blessing and virtue obtained by a person who speaks the 4-line gatha from the Vajra Sutta or Diamond Sutta for others surpasses the previous blessing and virtue by more than hundreds of thousands, a million and billion times. The merits and virtue of this great Dhamma cannot be reckoned in terms of numbers or alluded to by analogy. So this is just to let you understand the extent of difference in the perfection between the two. That's why the cultivation via the Diamond Sutta understanding is really, really very, very different, rather exceptional. The Vajra Sutta expresses the importance of not attaining to mark. It says not to be attached to marks of self, of others, of living being, or of alive. After hearing this sutta, ask yourself, is my mark of self empty or not? Is my mark of others, of living beings, and of life empty or not? In general, you possess a strong sense of self-importance. Your Mount Sumeru of me, myself, and I had not been leveled. If you have an acute awareness of others, then the Mount Sumeru of others has not been flattened. The same is true for the Mount Sumeru of living being and of a life. Those who study the Buddha Dhamma must knock over the Mount, their Mount Sumeru, and turn them into Dhamma, which is level and equal, with no high or low. Therefore, it is called Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. Those who understand the Vajra Sutta should be willing to give up their very bodies and life to the point that they do not have anything at all. There is an old saying, Zen saying, last year I was poor, but still I have a place for the point of an owl. What is an owl? What is AWL? Can somebody Google? AWL. This year I am so poor, I do not even have the owl. What is the meaning, AWL? Oh, pounding the rice on, Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Poor, no rice, but at least you still got that owl. That is, this year I'm so poor, I do not even have the owl. Means got rice also, got nothing to pound. This expresses the state of being self, without others, without living beings, and without a life. Having understood the principle, you must put it into practice. Do not act as though nothing has happened. So this one is to give you faith, to impart into you the sadha and the virya, to strive on with heedfulness and to develop this understanding. The cultivation of noma is very important, and can be very beneficial, very, very beneficial. And of course, extraordinary. So, Diamond Sutta is a very unique sutta. You all should thank Hui Rong. She requested for him. Sadhu. Okay, we still got 15 minutes. You all can ask question if you want to. Or anybody got anything to share? You can. You just have to put up your hand. We'll pass you the mic. Anybody? Now on the cultivation, the whiteboard there, is it clear? If you are not clear, you can ask. You better make sure you understand it. Because by now, all this should be very easy to understand. Hopefully in two or three more Tuesday we will finish the Diamond Sutta. We finish chapter 25 today. Then after that, left is 7 chapter. We should be able to finish it over the next 2 or 3 lessons. Oh, very good. Yeah, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. Oh, 8 more chapter. Yeah, maybe 3 more Tuesday. 3 more Tuesday. Hopefully before the end of May, we finish. Then after that, what you all want to go through? Maybe we buy the book Narada, the Manual of Buddhism. Oh yeah, the 52 deviant samadhi. But I scared the other may not understand. That one is good, the topic is good. Maybe we finish off the Manual of Buddhism first. I want the basic teaching. Because now you go through the basic teaching, you will appreciate the teaching a lot better. No. Hey, not simple. When I go through, it's totally different. You all may think it's like Sunday school, No, I tell you, the simple ones are the most profound. Because people don't know how to expound the teaching. Because that one is a very, very good complete version of the teaching. But the explanation there is not no more the authentic, real explanation. They use a lot of their own concept, views, and understanding. Even the law of karma is not what they think. And they didn't elaborate much inside there. But what I like is their Jataka story. They follow the Theravada script, and they actually simplify the story inside there. We should go through that one. So that I realize a lot of new people, or those who are new to the Dhamma, they don't have the full picture of the whole of the Theravada teaching, apart from the Four Noble Truths. Because if you go through the life history and the Jataka stories, and all those things that the Buddha did, the meaning will stand out a lot better, and you will understand how he actually lived his life 2,600 over years ago. And this is something that the Dhamma practitioner should understand. That's why every Samasa Buddha they come, they are different, although their teaching is the same. The advice that they give to living being is the same. Dhammapada verse 183. All Samasa Buddha teach the same. But that 183 is a very general advice. And every great being, Maha Bodhisattva, or what they call Samasa Buddha, they are very unique in their own understanding and field of understanding. And because of that, the teaching can be very different. Can be very different. Any question? Or anybody want to share anything? Don't have, then we better end. Okay. You all try to look for Huirong. Huirong went to the back.
Brother Teo.
Yes.
I want to say, last week, this Ajahnanan.
Yeah. He came.
He went
to Rayong. No.
This live telecast.
The video cast.
So he podcast, actually, Skype.
Skype, yeah, Skype. I know. They call it the podcast through the Skype.
He showed the same video as you about that little bird.
Oh, is it?
And then he asked for comments from everybody, all the others.
Oh, that's interesting. He showed the same video.
Video of that little bird was the fear.
The video was very beautiful.
His emphasis was that the bird had sati, mindfulness. so that by watching those what hermit crabs and all that, he learned to submerge and the head in.
That's how he explained. But I explained to you earlier on, isn't it? What did I tell you? How did fear arise? The little bird got fear, isn't it?
Yeah, he nearly got drowned.
Yeah. And after that, the mother go and ask him to come out. He don't believe even the mother. Then you know what happened? Then he waited one day when nobody was around. He tried to go out. Then you remember he saw the wave come. The moment he perceived the memory trigger, he ran back so far and he hit into the sand. You remember? Then he came out, he saw the crab follow him. Then he was curious because nobody. So he can observe this crab. So when the wave about to come, he laughed. No? He thought the crab going to kena like him last time. No? But he realized that the crab was so wise. No? They dig a hole, immediately go down. No? Then he decided to go and observe. No? In that sense, he is like that. He used the teeth to observe. Then when he observed, then he realized if they cannot be troubled, he also can do like them. So when the wave come, he didn't panic already. He straight away dig and find out for himself. You understand? They say meditation is about ahipassiko. Investigate into it and find out yourself. What the Buddha tell you is his experience. Understand now? So what the crab go through is their experience. So when you see, you have faith, you try. Then when you try, you really no more problem. You know what happened after he dig? His head went in. Then what happened? He closed his eye. The baby bird. He was so fearful. He scared like last time. Then that small baby crab disturbed him. Like, then he opened one eye, you remember? Wow, then he saw, wow, the water was so clear, so beautiful, no need to panic. Then after that, suddenly the wave from the back came back, and he saw, so clear, going out, no more sand coming in. Then suddenly, zoom, out. After that, wow, he very confident, like, through meditation, you awaken to the three characteristics. No more problem. So, all the way, no more fear, like pain, no more problem. You went through it, understand? You see it for yourself. It's not hear from people, understand? It's not knowledge anymore, it's direct experience. That's how you awaken. Meditation is the same. The silent mind awakened and saw it so clearly. That's why no longer deluded. Nothing can deceive you anymore. Nothing can, it cannot be reversed anymore, the understanding. It's a complete understanding, awakening. That's why you listen to the Thursday class better. I put there, how to root out complete fear. Not specific fear. Complete fear through the Dhamma, through the understanding. Through the teaching, for foundation of mindfulness. Yeah, it's all in the sharing. And it's very beautiful. Oh, sadhu for that sharing. Eh? Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah.
The same video. Yeah. I showed the same video.
No, those who have the Dhamma, the moment you see the video, you will love it one. Because this is the real expression of human delusion, the fear. And the animation by the Disneyland, the company, is so good. Oh. The bird like really have a lot of fear and phobia after that. You realize that? And it can defeat the type of cartoon. I tell you, they really did a very wonderful job. That's why I send it out. What are your comments? A lot of people cannot understand. Of course, there are some good feedback to Suyan. They all try. Then I say, yeah, not bad. Then after I explain, then people understand. It's the fear, the phobia, and all those things. Then you have to have that direct experience. You have to see it. If you hear about it, you don't have faith on. But if you can observe the enlightened one, how they really don't have fear, and how they really go about living life so beautiful. And then you realize it can be done. That's why when I saw my teacher, Achanyendra, I feel his metta. I feel his dhamma. And all those things. That's why I have faith. Then I determine to do. Then I just cultivate. Then, because of my past, everything just fall into place. It just came. Then it awakened and it understand. Then when it understand, like the Buddha mentioned, the Dhamma is pacetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. No need to check with people. You need to check. Is definitely not the correct one. Yeah. Because only the wise one can understand. And the awakening is not from the thought. It's not a knowledge. It's something that completely transforms you. Radical transformation. Completely from inside out. Character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, completely different. That's why it root out completely the avijja, the ignorance. The real Dhamma is very different from what people think. The one that use the thought, the knowledge one, got a lot of speculation on, a lot of idea on, a lot of story on. They tell you a lot of things on. When you enlighten, you're not supposed to do this. The non-enlightened one is like telling the enlightened one what they must do after they awaken. So all this, when you go through the cultivation, that's why I say you only need faith, sincerity, perseverance. you will awaken. And the moment you awaken, you don't believe me, later on you will come back and share with me what happened. Then you will tell me exactly like what Brother Teo shared with us. Yeah, after that, no more questions. And you are no longer arrogant or what. You just smile, silent, and you just rejoice. And when you can meet someone who can understand, you have so much joy. There's somebody who has the condition who really want to learn. Then you slowly, you are not eager to teach or share. Then you just talk. If they cannot understand, never mind. But if they have the parami, have the condition, you will know it. You will keep on talking to them. That's why the first time you came, you remember? You keep on talking to me. For 2-3 hours. Until Raymond called out. Because your nature know inside. And you have that past, the parami. But because during the period when there is no sasana, you get lost. When there is no sasana. That's why the bodhisattva vow is very important for you. This life. Make sure you get it right. So that in future, when you come, even without the sasana, this understanding will be there. And this is the understanding that has been lost for a long time. That's why this teaching, even you check the Mahayana Sutta, is not taught anymore. The bodhisattva vow that they give to you is different. The vow. No, it's the vow only. The vow is more or less the same, but the aspiration and all those things, the right view, is all not there. All not there. The 5 aggregate of form and mind, the 2 aspects. Not there. Completely not there. Then, how to break your karmic obstruction? All not there. They use different. They only have repentance. They don't know how to invoke the power of merits to overcome all this. To vary them. Completely not there. That's why this nature knew. This is the one that the world needs. To go this way is very easy when you have this understanding. Then cultivate affinity, all the great beings. All is inside the transcript note. That's why you must go and read. I copy to you also. Where you are the original founder. So you must receive it. Yeah. Okay, we better end. Yeah, you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakhantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sape deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's all pay respect, Triple Gem, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.